The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot-button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Podcast Beyond, episode 194. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the Ragamuffin Coffin, Ryan Clements.
That's me.
I wrote that one down. Wow, you're a robot coffin.
Yes.
Oh my God, I don't want to be a Ragamuffin in there. He only does everything, Colin Moriarty.
Good morning.
And Ethereal Games.
Ethereal.
Damn it, I screw it up every time. Ethereal. Games? Yeah. Is that is it just Ethereal?
Project Ethereal.
Project Ethereal, designer, developer, Noah Bench.
So far, we're off to a good start.
Well, we didn't go over Noah's full credentials here.
That's true.
Noah, thank you for joining the show. This is actually your second time being on Podcast Beyond.
Yes.
You remember the first time?
Oh.
It was way back in the day.
Yeah. The PSN Lives episode.
Exactly. We called him. We were already drunk, I think, at this point, Colin.
Possibly.
And you did not have a good showing, I recall.
No.
Are you going to bring your A game today?
Yes.
All right. First off, then, why are you here? Ethereal. Project Ethereal. What is it?
It's a game project. We were a project with Carnegie Mellon's Entertainment Technology Center.
Uh-huh.
And so we sort of branched out from that to actually create like this really cool game that we're going to bring to market this summer. So.
And you work in the IGN office. You're one of the next Game Boss people.
Yes, we're part of the IGN Indie Open House.
Okay, pitch your game to me in 5 seconds or less.
All right.
You can take more than 5 seconds.
Okay. So it's an online round-based medieval combat game. So think like Counter-Strike, but instead of guns and Kevlar, there's swords and armor.
That's good. That was a good description.
Yeah, there you go.
Would you play that, Colin?
Yeah, I think I would play that.
How are the trophies going to be in your game?
We haven't gotten around to
you
making
gotten
trophies
to platforms,
yet.
We haven't gotten to platforms yet? Okay.
Yeah, just PC for now.
Oh, just PC. Okay. Well, everything comes over eventually.
Did you say it was turn-based, Noah?
Round-based.
Round-based.
Yeah.
Okay. So what does that mean?
So you just play over and over again, you're saying?
Like, right.
Like 10 rounds of 5 minutes each or something like
right.
that.
Right. It's like team deathmatch. So
okay.
You jump in and like the last team standing
got
is the winner of that round.
Cool.
So were there like missiles like as far like crossbows and...
Chickens and stuff?
No. Just melee combat. No arrows, no catapults.
Interesting.
First person.
How much magic is
third
there?
Third person. No magic. It's
no magic.
This is real medieval. This ain't your dad's dragon.
Yeah, we're going for more like a realistic feel.
Okay.
So we've got realistic period weapons.
When do I make the choice between a griffin and a dragon as my mount?
That's your mount.
I'm just teasing.
Okay.
That sounds fine. But no, really.
Sounds interesting to me. I hope it comes to PSN.
Yes.
Yeah. You gonna get on
Bring there? It on over.
Huh?
Maybe.
Bring it over.
I have a PS3 downstairs you could use to try to make it if you want. I have
okay.
a keyboard that plugs into it as well.
All right. I'll talk to the team.
Okay, good.
I do have a serious question. Is it just for PC? It's not for Mac?
It is not for Mac right
okay.
now.
Oh. Can't play it at home. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Unless you buy me a PC, huh?
Yeah. You with 10 other people.
Project
can't play
Ethereal
it.
Has this giant budget. All right, so you're a professionally trained game designer. You've been doing it how many years? 30,000?
About 6 months.
Oh, what? What? All right, so what's your history? How did you get into making games?
So my education starts at Rochester Institute of Technology.
Yeah, RIT, my rival.
Yeah. So I studied film and animation there.
Okay.
Now I'm attending Carnegie Mellon's Entertainment Technology Center. It's like an interactive media program.
Why do I sit in this chair all the time?
Here, just trade. Here.
You're dead to me, Chip.
Swap out. Go.
I'm empty.
Reload. Oh, shit. All right. I'm good.
All right.
Sorry.
Go.
Carnegie, you're now you're at Carnegie Mellon.
Right. So they're, yes. they're training me to make games. So I'm a 3D artist.
Okay. Where cool. is Carnegie Mellon?
They're based
Carnegie Mellon. It's in Pennsylvania, right?
Yeah, it's in Pittsburgh.
Yes.
So see, that's what I'm disconnected on. How does you get from Pittsburgh out here?
Plane. So they also have like a satellite camp. They have satellite campuses all over the world. Mm. So one of them is here in Silicon Valley at Electronic Arts.
Okay.
And so or how is it Electronic Arts not affiliated with?
Okay. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So then you were there and you applied for this IGN open house thing?
Yeah. So, I didn't personally. The guys who were on the team last fall applied. And then I heard about that and was like, this project sounds awesome. IGN is awesome.
Damn right.
I got to be in this project.
Okay.
And now you are?
And now I am.
Beautiful.
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 Beautiful. A great uplifting story. Leads into some somber news, ladies and gentlemen. It is 5 o'clock in the afternoon. We are recording Beyond. This is one of the later Beyonds when we're not drinking.
Mm-hmm. One of the latest.
Mm-hmm. One of the latest when I don't remember, no booze involved.
Yeah, I don't remember recording this late ever when there's no booze involved, mm-hmm. to be honest.
Interesting. A problem if you was thrown into our works today, ladies and gentlemen, if you're one of these video game nerds who follows the industry, you probably already know. If you didn't, IGN Entertainment laid off 4 staff members today from editorial. So we had meetings in the morning. We've been bouncing around since then. We're not going to go into it. You could read all about it on the internet on a number of different places, but we do want to wish well everybody who left. Mm-hmm. We will miss you guys. We love you guys desperately and want nothing but the best for you.
It was a really hard morning, which is why we wanted to take some time and breathe and record Beyond a little later in the day.
We ate some pizza.
There was some pizza eaten.
I didn't.
Except me.
Yeah, you're gluten-free. We still haven't talked about that on the show. You want to talk about that? More somber news.
No, I don't really
Colin want to. We're not going to talk about it anymore.
No, it's just depressing.
It's out of the
and I'm not being completely gluten-free, even though I'm supposed to be.
All right, then. If let's get done with depressing stuff and get on to what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. You dove right in, Noah. You did it. You can tell you've listened to the show before.
Yeah.
Shueta, he held back. He didn't do it. He didn't ask where the Roper Report was. He didn't want to know. Oh, my goodness. All right, number one on the list here. Police in London, England, have arrested a 19-year-old hacker suspected of being linked to the recent cyber attacks against Sony. His computers have been seized. His computers have been seized in an effort to search for his exact connection to various hacks against not only Sony but other websites. Whether or not this guy is suspected of hacking Sony websites or the PSN itself remains to be seen.
Greg, was this provided by Colin Moriarty?
This is the Colin Moriarty spin zone.
Okay.
As soon as I
heard that guy, I was like, did Colin write this or is this being pulled from a press release? Goodness.
So I was reading more about this.
I want more of that voice.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Goodness.
I was reading more about this gentleman. And he sounds allegedly like an idiot because he apparently might have been responsible for the hack that happened on the CIA website. Now, if you're stupid enough, all right, you want to go after all these corporations, okay, whatever. They'll eventually find you anyway. If you want to go after the master spies of the CIA and expect that they're not going to track you and figure out who you are, not very smart.
I believe it wasn't like Swordfish where that guy did that, but then his life turned out pretty good. He got money. That was
John Travolta's movie.
John Travolta, remember?
Yeah, and it had,
spoilers, they had like a plastic body of John Travolta.
Pretty sure Halle Berry was in that movie.
Her
and,
boobs were in too. That was her big thing.
I was joking.
That's how they marketed that movie at the MTV Movie Awards, is that you would get to see her boobs. She said this aloud. And then she ran somebody over drunkenly.
Wow.
I don't think it happened that quickly, Noah, but it did happen.
Okay.
Somewhere.
Not like right on, like one on top of the other.
No. Like, all right, see, guys. Oh, no.
So hopefully they're getting.
Catwoman.
Hopefully they're getting close to catching the people that were responsible for this. I think, maybe the CIA website was a one step too far.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Could be.
Colin, here's what I'm going to float out there.
Okay.
I'm not one to cast stones. I noticed Nick Colin is on the PC all day long.
Yeah, he is. He's on the. Okay, well.
All he has is the green matrix code flowing down his screen.
What MMO is that? Leave me alone.
I used to have that screensaver, I remember, when I was a young high school nerd.
Nerd. Number two, a new PlayStation 3 model is coming. It will still look like a PlayStation 3 Slim, but will have some new innards.
What's wrong with that?
Named model CECH-300B. This modified PS3 drops its power consumption, removes the LED lights, and even weighs a full pound less than the standard slim models. It will contain a 320GB hard drive, and, as of now, has only been confirmed for release in Japan.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll come over here.
You think so, Colin?
I suspect so. I suspect that probably some of the other things has to do with the hack and... I guess that was very hardware centric.
You think it was the LED lights? That's what got him.
Yeah, yeah. It's like when they use the Altair, in Pirates of Silicon Valley, and they're using all the switches and the lights are lighting up. That's exactly how they figured it out.
But does it talk in your sleep?
You're going to talk that way about the man who feeds you.
Noah Wiley's in, by the way, thank you to the many people who tweeted at me telling me about Falling Skies, which is basically Resistance, the television show. And I love it. And it's awesome. And Noah Wiley is the main character. And he's a fucking history professor. Can you believe it? He's a fucking history professor.
So the first two seasons are really boring, and now people are really excited for season 2. Come on, we're having fun.
Before you blow a load on your own face, tell me what exactly.
Improve your aim.
That's vulgar.
That was actually particularly explicit. Apologies. But is this an old show? Is it new?
Flipping over on the highway right now.
Sister Mary, what's a load?
Sister Mary. That's okay. It's a new show. It's on TNT. There's only been 2 episodes so far.
All right.
It stars Noah Wiley as a history professor.
Okay.
They're in Massachusetts, around where I used to live. In fact, they start in the Back Bay, which is the specific neighborhood in Boston I used to live in.
Really? I've stayed at the Back Bay Hotel.
Really?
Yeah, same thing.
I lived in the Back Bay. And it's just about how aliens come to Earth.
Earth?
To Earth.
Yeah. Look at Earth!
And they start fucking shit up.
Okay.
And it's pretty. I really dig it. It does have like vibes of Resistance. It's very dark, very post-apocalyptic. All the things Colin likes.
Yes.
I don't know why I'm laughing.
And seriously, the professor, the main character is a history professor who talks constantly about like history and how they should take care of the aliens by just irritating them, like the like our revolution, how we didn't really win with overwhelming power.
Right.
We just pissed everyone off for 8 years. So it's cool. Thank you for suggesting that to me. If you are a Resistance fan like me, you should check it out. It's on demand.
What's it called?
Falling Skies.
Can I get this on Netflix?
No, it just came out.
All right.
On demand, what then?
Netflix?
On demand.
Oh, well, like Comcast.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Netflix.
No, so not on Netflix.
So that instant streaming
Number
service.
Number 3. The third piece of Fallout New Vegas DLC has been dated. And now that the PlayStation Network is back up and running, you'll be able to get it on PSN the same time everyone else gets it on the Xbox Live Arcade and PC. Personal computer. Old World Blues is coming July 19th and will cost $9.99.
All right.
Colin.
Yes.
Ben writes into beyond@ign.com, just like all of our friends can. Mm-hmm. And he says, I had a question mostly for Colin, but anyone's input is greatly appreciated. I haven't played any Fallout game before, and I want to get into one. Since I've never played either game, where should I start? Fallout 3 or Fallout New Vegas?
No, you take this one.
Definitely Fallout 3.
Oh, Colin's not going to like that answer one bit.
No, I think it's a fine answer. Yeah. They're both awesome games. I think New Vegas is better.
What?
Yeah.
I see. My problem with Fallout New Vegas was that I put it in and it was like, oh, this is just Fallout 3, and I totally turned it off and they won't play.
Oh, bummer.
I'm sorry. I was done with the dumb stiff animations and the slow zooms in their face.
Yeah, I think New Vegas is like the most morally gray game that I've ever played, and I think that's really cool. Like, you really in Fallout 3, you knew the choices you were making are good or bad, but in like I've made a number of choices in what's wrong with you?
I remember like my only memorable experience of Fallout was like running up to some dude right at the beginning of the game, and I was like, you know, I need help restoring this town's water supply, and he's like, I'm busy, and then the dialogue thing closes, and he just like takes out a cigarette. He's like, he's just standing
Why
there.
Why would you help me?
They're both awesome games, so you could easily lose, and I'm not being facetious, like 400 hours playing both of them, so combined.
Oh God, I almost knocked my microphone off right there.
But play Fallout 3 first.
The problem I had with New Vegas is the fact that it is very morally gray, but there's still an underlying like good or bad system.
Oh yeah.
So like when you take those choices that are morally gray, you don't really know where they stand on that chart. So the game's still judging your decisions, but you don't really know.
That's kind of what I dug about it because like I don't want to spoil it, because it's a little too new to spoil yet.
Yeah.
But. You know, I made a number of choices where I didn't really know where it was leading me, and I kind of like that because, like, you don't have a preconceived notion of where you're ending up. Like, I didn't know – like, where I ended up was not where I intended to end up, and that was kind of cool because a moral games
– I like that idea.
Yeah, like Mass Effect and even Fallout 3, you knew where you were going, but you really had no idea where you were going in New Vegas. I thought that was cool because in real life, if you were really that character, you didn't really know the repercussions of your choices anyway, you know? So I thought that was kind
of
neat.
And along those same lines, I was not part of the Infamous 2 spoiler cast because I haven't beat the game yet, but the moral decisions get difficult later in the game in terms of, like – which one is right and which one is wrong.
No, because they're red and blue. You know what's right. You know what's wrong.
Because right at the beginning when he's like, well, I could blow up this whole fucking town. Or I could save everyone. I was like, I wonder which one I'm supposed to pick.
It's always pretty much that clear, although you're in for a few surprises.
All right. There you go. I just can't wait to meet the cool girls that control different elements. Okay. That's like my most exciting thing, I think.
I don't
want to
spoil anything for you, but flying whale, all right?
Yeah?
That's not
wait, did you say flying whale?
Yeah.
Like Final Fantasy IV?
No, more like a whale that flies.
Is that a whale sound?
We don't know. No, we don't know how whale singing is going to sound in the air, do we? We know how it sounds underwater.
This is all we do, by the way.
He knows the show well.
Yeah. The lunar whale is in Final Fantasy IV, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, but it's not really. It's really like a cyber whale. Mm. It had like all the blinking lights, and it just kind of was whale shaped. Mm. Yeah.
You haven't heard the last of Shattered. Shatter. Yeah, haven't heard the last of Shatter. I mean, this is what I should do in the morning. Yes. This is the dress rehearsal for tomorrow. We'll do this show tomorrow. You haven't heard the last of Shatter. She, the New Zealand developer behind the Brick Breaker.
The New Zealand developer.
Both
the
IGN,
new developer out of Zealand.
About the future of the series. You're just putting words in here now. Mario Winads, the studio's managing director, had this to say, quote, "We know we have been very quiet with respect to Shatter on the PSN." I'm sorry. With respect to Shatter.
All right.
I'm being relieved of duties. This is the most important story to you.
You haven't heard the last of Shatter. Uh-huh. She, the New Zealand developer behind the Brick Breaker, spoke with IGN about the future of the series. Mario Winads, the studio's managing director, had this to say.
He gets the last name fine. Mario, though. That's got to be tough.
Quote, "We know we have been very quiet with respect to Shatter and PSN in general, but we hope to be talking about both topics more towards the end of the year." End quote. Could Shatter 2 be on the horizon, or perhaps Shatter on Vita? Let's hope for both!
All right. You want to just take over? You can take over.
No, it's okay.
You know what you want to read for a while?
That's my most important story, so I wanted
to. You got two written ones, and then my chicken scratch at the bottom, but I'm thinking you can figure those out.
Where do I start? All right.
The ones that aren't scratched off.
All right, so 5. After an extremely long wait, Beyond Good and Evil HD, the re-release of Ubisoft's 2003 sleeper hit, is coming to the PlayStation Network. You can download it this coming Tuesday, June 28th. It will run you $9.99.
Yes.
You gonna download that?
Yeah. Okay. I like that game.
What did it get on Xbox for the redo?
I don't know.
Okay. It was a quiet release on Xbox.
I had it. I actually had that game on the original Xbox. I dug it.
I had it on GameCube, but I don't think... Oh, I borrowed my friends on GameCube, but I didn't get that far in it. I burned out for some reason. I forget why.
I've heard good things.
I didn't like the pig, I think. That was my problem.
The pig?
Yeah.
He looked too much like me.
The game sold,
I'm hideous.
The game sold really poorly. Oh. I mean,
I remember that for sure.
But it was like critically acclaimed.
Don't say that, by the way. I don't like what you say.
Okay, fine. I won't say it.
Good. Who's my little pokums?
It's me.
You can go on.
Okay. I don't know when to jump in.
No, you just go. You've seen it. We interrupt each other.
All right.
It's a conversational podcast. I've heard.
Portal 2 is obviously a critical hit, but it's now confirmed to be a commercial success as well. Valve announced that the game has sold 3 million units since it was released this past April.
In your face, Colin.
Well, I don't care. I'm glad they do well.
Sure you are.
I like Valve.
Mm-hmm.
I have no problems with that.
All right. You've played Portal.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever do co-op?
Ooh, yeah. Ooh, no.
I've been stood up a few times by co-op people.
I think maybe you and I should hit that up, because you and I have very little co-op experiences together.
It's true.
I think we need to fix that.
I would play as well.
Oh, there you go.
Get fucked now, all right? We're having a conversation.
All right, fine.
Jesus. I'm going to go bang it out while they finish their conversation about Portal.
That's like not really an insult, though.
Is that the first time you ever heard me say get fucked to somebody?
I don't know.
I think that's for me, and I enjoyed it.
I love it.
Yeah, it's a good insult.
Okay.
Continue, so.
Now your chicken scratches?
All right, so Infamous 2 is on PSN.
Yep.
You can download it now, right?
Yes, it went up today. You can download Infamous 2 digitally now.
Is it $60?
Yep, it's $60, and if you're a PlayStation Plus member, you can download a trial version, play 60 minutes of it, earn in-game trophies, which are only realized once you purchase the full version.
Nice.
And that's about it.
Cool.
That was my story in a nutshell.
Yeah, cool.
Then at the end I was like, if you want to know what kind of fucking garbage Colin Moriarty wrote about it, click on this garbage link.
Jeez.
And then there's just a gift to Trash Man.
From the original Infamous?
Oh, yeah, they're right. They do have the... No, I was actually talking about like a dude just taking out
the
trash.
No, I was actually talking about your review.
No?
You're going to let him talk to me like this, Greg?
Yeah.
Greg, what's going on
about
here?
Your own battle,
you didn't laugh
Dad.
At any of our banter.
I've enjoyed it, though.
Yeah? All
right. I had to draw this mask on my page. Imagine some eyes in there.
You got your Kirby's.
You got your Kirby's.
If you look over here, you got your Kirby's.
Sometimes we need to be a visual podcast.
Yeah,
visual?
We do.
A visual. No, it take me home on this last one.
I have no idea what this says.
July
5th.
Oh, it's all right. I know what this is. So PlayStation Move Ape Escape is coming to PlayStation Network. It was announced in March. We now know a date. It's July 5th. You can download this coming Tuesday a demo if you'd like.
Ooh.
And I think I don't know if it's clear. It's called PlayStation Move Ape Escape, so I assume you have to use the PlayStation Move.
Probably.
But I'm holding out hope that I can use that DualShock controller. And I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
Because Ape Escape was the very first game on PlayStation that required the use of the DualShock controller. So wouldn't it be cool if, in fact, it forced you to use it there, too, even though the game was called PlayStation Move?
I think the whole point is that it would have to use the Move.
No, it's throwing you off. It's like, we're going to call this game PlayStation Move Ape Escape, and you have to use a DualShock controller.
One, how do you
you have to plug in an original PlayStation 1 controller to play.
Predict the trophies. Easy?
I suspect so.
All right, that's what I like to hear. Number two, predict what games came out this week if I don't want to wait to buy Ape Escape Moves.
Oh, I know what they are. I don't have to predict anything. It's the official IGN list of upcoming PlayStation software on all three platforms by the IGN editors.
Noah, take me home with a guitar lick!
Noah! Bad Noah!
It's okay. I didn't expect a guitar lick out of that one.
Clemens, it's the official IGN list of upcoming PlayStation software on all three platforms by the IGN editors.
8-bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey,
I don't know what that was.
In that Ape Escape game, how many minigames do you think the move is going to be a banana in?
Every one of them, I suspect.
You got to get the little apes home. Wave the banana.
Wave the banana? All right.
Sound like a functional sexual deviant over there. Wave the banana, get the kids home.
Every level, this is how I would design the game.
Yeah.
First person shooter, first person. Right. You know what I mean? And then you have the banana out like a gun, but it's all anchored. You're just every level is you're standing at the door of something with the doors behind you, and you have to wave the banana at the apes to get them to jump to you and go in the house.
But you have to like take it away at the last moment so they don't eat it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you only have one.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's design it.
Noah, get on that. I think we can all admit Project Ethereal is not going anywhere.
Listen.
Banana Ape Escape Move games. That's what it is.
Listen, there's a precedent for this now, right? Sucker Punch created Sly Cooper 1, 2, and 3. Sanzaro was like, we got a great idea for a Sly Cooper game. We're going to make our own, and then we're going to show it to Sony, and maybe they'll like it. And they ended up liking it, so now they're making it. So we have this great idea for an Ape Escape game.
That's true.
We have to meet up after this.
Clearly, they're not making any more Ape Escape games, so just go.
You little apes want a banana.
Sweet Tooth, downloadable content.
Sweet Tooth.
Get Jaffy on the phone.
Better yet, it would be awesome if there was a downloadable like Ape Escape, like the quintessential ape character in Twisted Metal. Driving around like a banana with wheels.
That'd be great.
I can't wait for Twisted Metal. That game was fun. Okay, there are four games.
Yes.
Cars 2.
Yes. An 8.
Yeah,
IGN's Nicole Tanner.
It got a high score. Dungeon Siege 3.
I don't know. Did that get... Oh, no. Charles reviewed that.
Charles reviewed
I think he liked it, but he didn't. Maybe he was somewhere in the middle.
There was some loot to be had.
There was some loot to be had. That's not surprising. Shadows of the Damned.
Okay.
And this week's pick of the week.
Oh, by default,
It's a joke,
Fear
obviously.
3.
Oh, no. It's a real one.
Yeah, I guess. I haven't played Fear 3 yet. And I haven't played Shadows of the Damned yet. But I'm excited to check out Shadows of the Damned because I like that studio. I like how they do like weird things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Co-op and Fear 3 is real good. But Colin, not so fast on Pick of the Week. Clements, what came to my digital mouth this week from Papa Bird Sony?
Regurgitating minis in your mouth.
Alien Zombie Megadeth came out.
I don't know what that game is.
Would you like me to?
Yeah, read me the description.
All right, here we go, guys.
Okay.
What kind of voice should I do this in?
Your mini voice.
The mini voice?
Yeah. Doing your best Jeff Rubenstein impression.
When death by alien zombie just isn't enough, you need to stick some mega into the mix.
This is like a weird Jerry Seinfeld fusion here.
What's the deal with zombies? They don't do anything.
Not that it's only blasting you'll be doing. Oh no, there's bombs to defuse, space babies to rescue, jetpacks for flying silliness, spread out over 70 levels combining both one-shot adventure levels and to the death
one
survival
shot.
Modes, all dressed up in traditional pom-pom silliness so as to avoid traumatizing any small children.
You know what that just told me? Absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
You know
nothing.
What,
well,
Colin?
Yeah.
One of our favorite things to do here on Podcast Beyond is read the mini descriptions and mock Jeff Rubenstein and his wife for making such concoctions and then just putting words on the page and publishing them live.
This week they decided to be especially literal.
But as That's you know, IGN is so busy, we don't have time to review all these minis.
Right.
So now we're reaching out to our readers. We're going to ask readers to play these minis and give us a review, just like Paolo did. He wrote into beyond@IGN.com with our first ever mini reader review.
Well, I better write this down.
All right, this is Paolo. All right, you ready?
Mini reader review. Mini reader review. You're gonna get a review because it's a mini reader review.
There you go. You know what he's reviewing?
What?
The Rotating Octopus game last week we talked about. That I said I'm gonna go download right away, and everybody's like, it's free for PlayStation Plus. I'm like, yay! And I never downloaded it. I forgot about it. But Paolo did not. OMG, this game is hard to describe. Is like that ant you hate but gives you big money. It's way too simple. The music is lame, but for some reason I'm possessed by it. God damn it, stupid orange rotating octopus. Why the fuck would someone send a fucking missile targeting your babies? And why the fuck you have to be rotating outside the water searching for your babies? And how can you give birth to so much of this little fuckers? This is the first octopus that can jump between dogs, stupid cop hat creatures, fireballs, and green shit looking things of all kind, but can't shoot ink? You rotating octopus character are a disgrace for all the octopuses in the world. If you were the octopus who fought that stupid shark, well, that video would be on AFV because people would enjoy you see they'd be eaten by something that actually deserves to be in the water. Fuck you, orange stupid looking piece of shit, good for nothing octopus character. Hope you get eaten by a school of rabid guppies. I could go on and on about how stupid and lame yet kind of addicting this game is, not worth being free, but I just don't want to. I doesn't one more word myself. Thank you guys for making my day easier and making my ride home something even more enjoyable. Thank you, Paolo.
Mini reader review, I doesn't word myself.
Remember, if you want to be the mini reader review, download a mini and send it in to beyond@IGN.com.
Yep.
The bar is set very high.
Maybe, what else? Maybe spell check?
What else has come out on the... how much spell check was going to help that one.
That was the only full downloadable game. We also have the Killzone 3 From the Ashes pack.
Anthony recommended
it. This week. And Anthony enjoyed it very much.
Yeah.
And also, Mortal Kombat DLC, the first warrior in a pack of four, I want to say.
Yeah, that's right.
Scarlet came out. Scarlet is infused with the blood of her enemies.
That's true.
True story. Now, I'm not gonna lie. The minis, very uneventful this week.
Jeff.
They're very literal.
Very Zombie literal. Very we have Brick Breaker, Labyrinth, and Solitaire.
Is Labyrinth based on the David Bowie movie?
I can tell you that it's ESRB rated E.
We spent all our money on the license. We can't make a real game. Make a mini.
It's the start. You hit start. It says game over. You win.
Plays the movie.
Or just the Bowie music video.
That'd be even hotter.
You remind me of the babe. The babe with the power. The power of voodoo.
I don't know what that is.
It's David Bowie.
Yeah. It's from The Labyrinth.
I haven't seen that movie in a million
I saw
years.
My baby crying hard as babe could cry. Come on, guys.
David
Bowie impression.
What Steimer is huge in that movie. You should get her up in here. All right, then. Yeah, pick of the week is Fear 3. I played Fear 3. I like co-op quite a bit. Had a lot of fun with Colin.
When Colin describes the Fear 3 modes to me, I got legitimately
excited.
He
loves them.
Yeah, they sound awesome.
Yeah, the multiplayer modes are dope. Yeah. All four-player max modes, there's four of them. Contractions is one of them. That's kind of like zombie mode in Call of Duty. So you protect like a safe house, and you have to go out and like get items and bring them back, and you're being invaded by increasingly more difficult waves of enemies. That's my favorite, even though it's somewhat contrived at this point. That's my favorite mode. But then there are other ones. Fucking Run is the name of one of them. That is the name of it. And it's you're running down city streets or like, you know, wooded paths, whatever. And there's a slow cloud of smoke coming at you and your team, but there are soldiers ahead of you, so you have to like kind of get through the enemies quickly. And if someone gets touched by the smoke, the entire team loses. That's a really good mode. And then Soul King and Soul Survivor are based on these ghosts called Spectres, which you use to possess AI enemy soldiers. So you don't fight with the Spectres, you fight with soldiers, and you jump around from soldier to soldier as you get damaged and fight that way. I think they're fun.
Cool.
Totally unique. Better than Deathmatch and Team Deathmatch.
Little tangent for you. There is an as I drop my pen, there is an old anime called Soul Taker. Always thought the opening sequence to Soul Taker, very funny, kind of hilariously awesome song.
Sing it.
Well, it just starts off with a bunch of Japanese, which I won't be able to say, but it was like, Kima kama kiraru, la la mi na ni na nu, ba na ba, ba 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 ba. That was all in Japanese. Then the lady was just like, Soul Taker! And then it starts as like, ba 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 ba. Yeah.
I like that. I can get down with that.
Yeah. That was it.
Ooh. All right.
There's your little song.
So,
for
pick
the
of the week, Soul Taker.
That's our pick of the week. An anime that's like 10 years old.
Trophy tips, be a man in Platinum Kung Fu Panda. Like, Colin Moriarty couldn't, but Greg Miller could.
I missed the collectible. I don't know where it is.
Yeah, that's a bitch. I haven't talked to you about it. There was a 15 minutes there, about 2 in the morning, where I finished the game and should have got the Platinum, but I was short one steal. Or so I thought.
I don't know where any of
that. So I had to run around.
That game sucks. That game sucks, dude. We've talked about this. Some of the children's games we played, actually, I think a majority of them are actually pretty good games. Like, they don't break. They run well.
So what's your problem with Kung Fu Panda?
That game? Dude, that game
you played Leisure Suit Larry. It was worse.
Leisure Suit Larry is probably the worst game I have a platinum for.
Yeah.
That game is so bad. That game is so bad. I can't even tell you how bad it is.
I have a question for you guys. You guys are both legitimately extremely busy professionals. Yeah. You're always working.
That's why I did this till two in the morning.
Okay, because I was going to say that, Greg, like, you are working all the time. When you're not working and you're, quote-unquote, having fun, you're playing god-awful games for trophies.
Sometimes. Not all the time.
Okay.
I did Kung Fu recently and Mega Mind recently.
What on a night where you actually don't have work to do, on the rare occasion.
Yeah.
And you are not playing a terrible game. What would you say you're doing?
Probably, I'm trying to play something good, I guess.
Yeah?
Yeah. Right. Depends on the mood. I still have, in the back of my head, I would love... What the fuck?
Can you not read my handwriting?
No, I can't.
There's some writing going on.
Taka
salad. No, wait.
Taka salad.
Taka. Yeah, I try to play good stuff. I read comics.
Oh, fuck it.
What kind of comics do you read?
DC Comics, of course. Yeah? Digital. All right. But no, I'm trying to play good stuff. This weekend, I'll tell you what I'll be doing. I'm going to play an Uncharted 2 nonstop multiplayer because next week, Uncharted 3 beta comes out.
Oh,
ladies
yeah.
and gentlemen, that means we will be editor beat down and all over the place, including, I believe, a live stream on Wednesday. So if you want to play on camera, again, if you think your two-man team can take on the Greg Miller or Colin Moriarty dynamic duo.
That's a mistake.
Bring it. I doubt it.
I doubt it.
Also, I think it's worth noting that the trophy hunt is going to reach critical mass in only a little over a month.
Really?
And that's because Greg and I are combining forces and moving in together. Now, here's the thing about this. Is that Greg thinks he's being cute because he's pulling away with trophies and earning them in secret and then tweeting at me and making fun of me.
Yeah.
Now,
ladies and gentlemen, it's like when the Titanic pulled away from the Pilgrims, and they're like, "No, don't leave us in
the Pilgrims." What?
I majored in history. That happened. So I can only imagine how ridiculously nerdy
our house is
this
gonna
situation
be.
Is going to be.
Now, and keep in mind, we're moving in with Mike Mitchell.
Mike Mitchell.
Podcast Beyond, friend of the show. He's been on the show. Mm-hmm. He freelances some guides for us. Also a trophy whore.
It's going to be just stupid.
Yeah.
Because all it's going to be is just three dudes sitting in their bedrooms with their big-ass TVs and their PlayStations earning trophies all day and occasionally going to the bathroom and eating.
Yeah.
But that's basically my life right now as it is anyway, so I'd rather do it around good friends.
Yeah, and Portillo will be there.
And Portillo will be there.
Yeah, right.
Pissing on your TV.
We have to look for apartments when? Next weekend?
Yeah, we got to do it soon. We should be looking all the time, but it's a busy time of year.
Yeah,
right?
it is. Mike Mitchell, I know you're listening.
Get your shit together, Mike. Find us a house. Come on. We're busy.
Find us a place to live.
I'm going to say that all again because I screwed up.
I know what you're going to say and I don't mind. I think we're going to be no further than the Inner Sunset.
And I don't even want to go there. I want to go Lower Haight. Lower Haight would be perfect.
All the way to the Haight, I think, would be the area in which we will look, which is a pretty big area. I like the Inner Sunset, but it's a little far away from work. But I live much further away from work right now, so that would be a huge improvement. And the 9th and Judah area where all the stores are and stuff like that, I like that. I like
good,
that area.
Good place.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind living there. That's like around where Clayman used to live and Eric Rudvig. So we have a lot of good times down there, a lot of good memories down there. I wouldn't mind living there. But I'd rather live in the Haight.
Yeah, agreed.
And we're going to try to make it work.
Okay. So if you own a place in the Haight and you want to give it to us, let us know. Beyond@IGN.com. Topic of the week. I think we've just been motoring. Let's just go back to some reader mail. Right?
Sure. Why not?
Reader mail. We got a whole bunch of it. No, you've been dead quiet for a while. You got something to say? Can people buy your game?
Not yet.
When they can, where can they go?
Probably Direct to Drive.
Okay.
Maybe Steam. Haven't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand. We understand it's hard. Okay. It's game development, everything is hard. Is hard. I've heard.
Mm-hmm. But there will be a beta that's coming out June 30th. Okay. So next week.
There you go.
That's exciting. How can people signed up?
Yeah.
It'll just be on File Planet. They can just download it.
You guys are pretty confident going head to head with the Uncharted beta.
Yeah.
Okay. I was joking. Don't take it hard. No, it's okay. Daryl writes in. To be on to IGN.com, just like everybody else should. He says, last week, Scott Lowe said that as it stands right now, the Vita is a 9 out of 10. What would have to happen between now and launch to decrease that score to a 7 or 8? A crappy battery life? Would it even be possible, without major hardware changes, for the score to drop below a 7? What would get the Vita to a 10? An amazing battery life? The ability to give blowjobs? Daryl, we're just hypothesizing. This is like when I see a game in screenshot. Like when I saw Duke Nukem, and I'm like, that game's going to get maybe a 6.5. And I was wrong.
You were close.
Yeah, well, I was close, but no, I wasn't on the point. Scott Lowe was just pontificating from the little bit he's played. He has not held it. He has not carried it. He does not know how much it's the final product will weigh, how long the battery life
will be. You know who's held it? We have.
Yeah. Well, he's held it, I mean, but he hasn't, like, had it.
Held it untethered.
Oh, right. Yeah, at the interview.
Yes.
The battery lasted the entire interview with Shu.
Yeah, it was just Drake on screen kind of moving around a little bit. Yeah. Kind of going like this. And I couldn't stop staring at it, to be honest with you.
I know. Yeah. All right, so there you go. Don't go banking on a 9 out of 10 yet.
Oh, and to answer his question, I don't know what would drop the score.
I think a bad battery life, if like the, you know, the final product was touchy or something, like, you know, like when you mass produce something, things can get weird and the buttons can be mushy or they can do this or they can be that.
Is it also possible, man, I wouldn't even imagine how hardware could get a 10. What's perfect hardware? Like electronics in my mind are so like, they have so much potential to have little imperfections.
Yeah.
So,
you know what's the perfect piece of hardware in terms of what, yes, the PSP. The perfect piece of hardware that really like worked like 100% of the time, did what it needed to do, Super Nintendo. Top loading NES too.
Top loader.
They never broke.
What about Genesis? Why do you hate Genesis?
I didn't own a Genesis until I was older and I bought it on eBay.
Okay.
But, you know, I was a Super Nintendo kid. Or I was a Nintendo kid in general.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
Bruce writes in. Dear Ryan, Greg, Colin, and guest. That's you, Noah. Would you buy/be excited for an Infamous 3?
Nope.
Yeah, we'd be excited. I'd buy it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, of course.
All right, good. Next question. What do you guys think of DMC? I think it sucks.
Devil May Cry?
Yeah, the new Devil May Cry.
Wait, have you played it?
No, this is him, not me.
Oh.
This is Bruce. Bruce says, I think it sucks. Bruce. I doubt Bruce has played it.
All right, got it.
So what do you've seen it.
I haven't played it.
Yeah, but you've seen it. You've seen the teaser trailer.
Seen the teaser trailer. Very excited.
Me too. I think it's time for that series to get a reboot.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
You don't know?
Because they're ignoring the better series, which is Onimusha. Now,
here we go.
Now,
it's funny how many times Onimusha comes up just because of Colin. It's come up in so many meetings and so many podcasts. Because
Onimusha is the best, dude.
I'm glad that you love it. And I have I wish I could.
It's survival horror with a sword.
I know. And you could suck souls.
It was awesome.
Soul sucker!
I want an Onimusha collection so bad with trophies. I'd lose myself in that.
Would you?
Except for the third one. The third one sucks. Go on.
Would you just start making out with Greg right now?
Boy, I would probably do that for a number of reasons.
All right.
There you go. Bruce continues. This one's mainly for you, Clements.
All right.
Also, do you think that it was quite odd that, cue Greg's loud voice, there was no FF versus XIII at E3?
I don't think it's odd because they obviously want to focus on 13-2 ahead of Versus because Versus is still so far out. Not far out, man. But like far out in the future.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, I don't think it's surprising. It's unfortunate because I'm infinitely more excited for Versus 13 than I am for 13-2.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Bruce finishes, I love you guys. Don't ever stop Bioni.
Thank you.
We won't.
I don't intend to.
James writes in, I just wanted to get the Beyond's crew opinions on the recent gameplay footage of the Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker HD remake. I know Greg loved it on PSP and played the heck out of it, but I was disappointed with what I saw. It may be in HD, but it still looks crappy. I would have much preferred to see them put more effort into it and make a better-looking game ready for your home consoles. Did you see it? Anybody else see it?
I actually didn't.
No, I missed this.
This is for the one that just came out on PSP last year.
Yeah, now it's
or not the HD collection.
What? What?
Isn't there a Metal Gear collection coming out?
Yes.
So he was talking about the PSP port, not the.
About the HD collection.
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly don't care about that game. To be
you
honest.
Are fucking crazy.
I honestly don't care about that game. To be honest, that's a little redundant, isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit. And stupid.
Yeah, well, that too. I wish that they would spend more time trying to figure out how to port Twin Snakes over, because it's like that the original is not getting any love, and they already have a remake of it. So it must have something to do with Nintendo, wouldn't you?
Peace Walker is so good. It's possibly the best Metal Gear game there's ever been.
I really. Doubt it.
Do you? Yeah. Well, it's funny.
Have you played it?
Exactly. I have no basis for your opinion. Mega Man 2 was the best Mega Man ever.
Why do you do that?
I just know because I've seen it. I've seen him. He's blue, right? He's got an arm that shoots out pellets or something. I know. Boop, boop, boop. And you got your singularities.
Have you started Singularity yet?
No. I'm going to, though. I thought about starting it the other day, but I got caught up in something.
What was like this joke from?
That was Singularity.
Remember? That was Singularity.
I'm gonna rewind these stairs. Oh, I'm gonna fast forward these stairs.
Fucking teapot time machine right there.
Wait until you see how good that game is.
I'm going to.
You know what? I feel vindicated in a way because every once in a while, cumulatively, I must have gotten at least 30 tweets from people over the past, I don't know, 6 months that are like, I've finally tried Singularity because of you, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
I haven't had anyone say Singularity sucks. Why did I waste my money on it?
Yeah.
They're like, this is a really unique shooter, and we need more unique shooters, don't we?
Well, you should tell them they should have bought it earlier, because that's the whole reason they're not getting more unique shooters.
That's true.
Anyways, James. Point. Yeah, I didn't think the footage looked all that great. It's a much more polished version of Peace Walker, but it's very blocky from what I saw. I saw it at E3 running there, and then we have some new trailer footage up.
But I was still impressed with the Monster Hunter PSP 2 PS3 port that we were seeing. Remember that first trailer
that came out? Right, yeah.
I thought that looked really cool.
Yeah.
Very smooth, very sharp, very sexy.
Oh.
No one knows what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he does.
Jack writes in, the question is for anyone and everyone. Beyond!
Beyond.
Thanks to you guys, I am now a trophy addict. L.A. Noire is the first game I've ever platinumed.
Nice.
Just wondering which game holds your first shiny platinum. We all got to start somewhere.
Fallout 3, I think.
Jeez, really?
Yeah.
I was Uncharted. First one I could get, I got.
Uncharted 2.
Look at you. Clements.
What was the question?
What was your first platinum?
I think it might have been Hannah Montana.
Nice.
Right?
Nice.
Hannah Montana, the movie, the game.
I was going to think you had zero. I didn't think you had any.
No, I have Hannah Montana, the movie, the game.
You have two.
And what's my other one?
I don't know. You definitely have two.
Uncharted? Did you do Uncharted?
I don't think so.
All right.
Resistance 2?
No.
I don't even have that one.
What was my other platinum? I don't even remember.
Mirror's Edge?
No, because remember I gave up on that.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
John writes in. He's talking to you, Colin.
Okay.
Having never played them, I recently bought both Resistance games to catch up on the story and gauge how interested I am before Resistance 3 drops.
Good idea.
So far, I'm loving Fall of Man, and I'm sure I'll love the second one too. However, I couldn't help but notice the absence of Resistance 3 in much of the post-E3 discussion. Not much mention of it as best shooter, or even mentioned as best of PS3 awards. Are there other games just this good, or are people disappointed in what they've seen in Resistance 3 so far?
No, I actually think the exact opposite is true.
People are so impressed they're not nominating it for
awards. No, first of all, I know it was nominated on our side. I nominated it for Best Shooter, and I nominated it for Best PS3 game.
John's not trying to offend you. He clearly has
I nominated dressing. It. No, I think, in fact, that Resistance 3 is going to, from what I've played it a few times now, both single player and multiplayer. I think the game looks beautiful. I think the game's going to be a lot of fun. The story sequences I've seen are interesting. The game's definitely dark and dreary. I think Resistance fans are really going to dig it. I'm not really sure if people are going to get involved with it that aren't into Resistance. Although I've said before that with, like, it just seems that, you know, Guerrilla and Killzone have really dominated the PlayStation 3 exclusive shooter realm. And now that I think not the general consensus, because I think Killzone fans really liked Killzone 3, especially online, but I think that the consensus with more, you know, like more moderate Killzone fans is that Killzone 3 is a little disappointing, and I think that this gives Insomniac and Resistance a chance to maybe
interest
some people, you know? Because I think that the game is refined. I think when you look at Resistance 2, which came out, it will have come out 3 years ago by the time Resistance 3 comes out, so they clearly took their time with it. And I think the result hopefully will be awesome, but we'll see.
Noah, were you shaking your head just now?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought I saw a head shake over there.
No, I am not familiar with Resistance.
About Resistance?
No, I got nothing to say about Resistance. I've never played.
Better not. So. You never play, what about the first two? Did you ever play the first two?
No.
Oh, my gosh, Colin.
Kill some Chimera. It's fun.
When we went to Sony and played the multiplayer, who was the best person playing?
I was.
No, I think I have a photo here on my phone that proves otherwise.
But that's not fair because I kept. I was taking notes. I was stopping to write down the loadouts
adorable.
And stuff. You were playing
He's
more.
Adorable. Can't wait for these. Hey, Colin, how many trophies you got over in your room? I'm writing notes. They don't give notes for, or trophies for notes. They don't give notes for trophies. Hey, here's some quickfire ones.
Okay.
Guillermo writes in and said, why didn't Outland make the top 25 PSN?
Because we wrote about it in the intro to the PS top 25.
Exactly. Thank you for reading the intro there, Guillermo. It did say up there, though, yeah, Outland's
too new. It specifically talks about Outland.
Exactly. A little too new. We didn't want to put it on there and get ahead of ourselves, but we do love that game quite a bit.
I suspect that when we do the list again next year or whatever, that it will definitely make the list.
Sam writes in and says, when do you expect the PS3 to get party chat like they have on Xbox? Never. I still never think that's going to happen.
And I really don't care.
I don't either. Yeah. I'm over it. Whatever. But it was interesting that it's coming to Vita and not.
Yeah.
That's why we got the Skypes. Yeah. And we got the Google Chats.
Google Chats.
And we got the... I learned some interesting things about Google today.
From Colin Moriarty?
Yeah.
The Spin Zone. Okay.
I heard. Do you want to talk about this?
Well, let's say what you need to say.
You know, they're going
to
hear this podcast.
I don't know much about it, so...
I'm more afraid of Google than I am the anonymous. I'm just kidding. I'm afraid of everyone equally. Please don't do anything.
No, Google got served by the FTC today with antitrust subpoenas. I think it's about time. And... You know, I'm usually not one for government interference in business at all. I mean, I'm very much a libertarian, but Google is just a really scary company, and they need to be taken down a notch because they basically just do – they basically circulate you around all their services and save all your data. And for people that use all of their stuff, they know everything about you. You know, they know what you're searching for. They know where you're going on Google Maps. They read your email. You know, like, there's just a million things that they do. They have you on blogs. They're looking at what you're looking at on YouTube, which they own. They're like, and the government's finally like, this is insane. This is, and I agree. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. Now, these antitrust suits, if the Microsoft one in the early 90s is any indication, will take 7 years or 8 years to follow through. And Microsoft actually won their antitrust case. But I don't know. I like Google. I use Google as a search engine, but I won't use it as anything else because I'm not pleased with the fact that, like I said, they circulate you in all their services and they save all your data. It's just to me, it's just like a creepy service. It's become like to the point of like actually being weird, like how much they do and how their hands are in everything and everyone is just like obsessed with using all their stuff. Like, I don't think it's healthy. I don't think it's healthy for the internet, and I don't think it's healthy for internet commerce. You know?
What do you use for web-based mail? Which service?
I only really use our
IGN mail. Yeah. Okay, got it.
Because I've had that email. I've had the work email address since I was an intern, so I've had it for 7 years.
Oh, okay. Wow.
The history, the things that email address has seen, the 311 chats, the donut threads.
So many donut threads.
One more quick hit here from Mr. Glass. He says my 4-year-old iPod broke a few weeks ago. I can get it fixed. But what about the Vita? Will the Vita be able to listen to songs and play the MP3s? I'm paraphrasing.
I suspect so.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I'd want to carry that around like I carry around an iPad.
Yeah, it's like you carry around a boombox or something like that.
Exactly.
Vita might as well carry around a boombox with you.
Yeah. All right, final two questions. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can either you get to pick, Clements.
Okay, got it.
You can either have the question. We're going to get them both, but
right.
In the order.
Right, right, right.
Question about female gamers from a female.
Okay.
Or one of those quick hit things where we each get a personalized question. No, they didn't know you're going to be on.
That's okay.
We'll do the female gamer because I think I know what that question was.
What do you think it is?
I think it was a lady that wrote in saying that she wonders if something about the dynamic between casual gamer versus a...
Beyond, this is Brown-Eyed Girl with a question about female gamers. Casual women gamers have been around forever and are growing each year with games like
Since the colonial era.
Of course. They were playing checkers.
Yes.
Have you noticed the numbers of hardcore girls go up by speaking with fans, attending events, etc.? Or do you think we will always be a minority? I'd like to think that one day it'll be split in half. Opinions?
I don't know if it's going to be split in half, just like I don't know if we'll ever have, like, children growing up and, like, boys are playing with Barbies and girls are playing with, you know, G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
I think it's almost like a societal thing as to sort of pushing video games onto boys more than girls, but I don't know. Maybe that'll change, and I would love to see it change. It would be great if it was a 50-50 split.
Yeah, I think it'll be – that's an uphill battle. I don't see it happening – anytime soon, but I mean, I guess it's really hard to predict anything in games, right? Like, yeah. You never would have predicted certain things.
And I mean, this is actually, I think it's a much more complex issue than we even might know, just in terms of like kind of the difference between the sexes and how they consume entertainment and what it means to them. And oh man, there's a billion different things you could talk about.
However, there. I've totally seen an upswing in hardcore girls. Hardcore in quotes. What the difference is.
I'm sure you have. Seen an upswing in hardcore girls.
I've seen a lot of hardcore girls. But in gamers, I've seen a lot. Yes. I've seen a lot of serious girl gamers.
I'd like to say that I've interacted with more, but that also could just be because of my, you know, profession. I'm
probably
able to connect with more people that play games.
Yeah.
But I think that there's, I don't think the girl gamer should not feel alone. Also, I think it was in a different context, but Tina from 1UP tweeted about that recently, about how it's almost not even necessary to really qualify yourself as a girl gamer. You're just a gamer. You're just like everybody else.
Yeah, I think the girl gamer thing is like a product of the 90s, and like I think it's like Clement said, I agree. It's like a really complicated issue or whatever. But I've always known girls, and you know, even in my own family, one of my sisters like plays games, and you know, she loves Ratchet and Clank.
Is she single?
Yes, she is.
But let's talk about her more on this podcast.
I'd rather not. But you know, I've always known girls in passing, or whatever, in school and in college and stuff that played games, and it was cool. But you know, I agree. Like qualifying yourself based as a gamer just on sex is kind of lame, I think.
Because that's like me going around being like, I'm a guy gamer, guys. What do you think about
that? Say that for now.
I mean, the one thing I definitely noticed, like, because I love chess and stuff, is that there are, like, I've barely ever played against girls in chess in person. Like, I don't know on the internet or whatever, but
girls don't know how to play chess, obviously.
Yeah. Girls and Greg Miller.
Yeah, it's true. I don't know. You're all a bunch of idiots. While you're playing chess, you know what I'm doing? I'm banging girls on chessboards that aren't.
I want, when we move into the game, I'm definitely.
Knight to Queen's Rook.
Knight to Queen's Rook.
Is that what you say at the club?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing when I'm having sex with them on the chessboard. While other people are playing chess with the girl, with the guys.
When we move in together, I'm going to teach you how to play.
No,
it's really not that
hard. Yeah,
it's
Knight to Queen's
it's really,
Rook.
It's really not hard to learn how to play. I mean, playing.
Checkmate.
Isaac writes in.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
He's got the quick hits.
Okay.
Colin.
Yes.
You've mentioned that you read and enjoy dystopian novels,
yes,
such as The Road,
yes,
and
The Road is awesome.
And A Canticle for Leibowitz.
I never talked about that. I don't know what that is.
Okay.
I don't think maybe.
I too enjoy post-apocalyptic fiction, and I was wondering if you could recommend some of your favorites.
The Road recently is definitely one of my favorites. That book, I read that book overnight, and I couldn't put it down. It was awesome. But the one that I read most recently that I think was most intriguing was a book called A Last Babylon, which was written in the 50s. And it's about a family first of all, the context of writing in the 50s is really intriguing because that's, you know, right around, you know, when the Russians had the bomb and there was imminent threat of nuclear assault in both sides. So it was like very real. It was written in a very real time. It's not written now and like looking back at an era that people don't understand. That was really, you know, the 50s were a scary time for people in the United States. So it was about a family in Florida. The Soviets nuked the United States, and it's about how they survived, basically, like without, you know, no contact with anyone on the outside world. They don't really know what's going on.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's cool. It's really cool.
Okay.
It's kind of like, I mean, that's the same premise of Jericho, in a sense, the TV show I'm obsessed with, which is like they basically don't know exactly what happened, and they slowly figure out what happened, but they have no contact with anyone. So, like, they're basically taking care of themselves.
Gotcha.
And is it realistic fiction, as in it's not like people have, like, mutated
giant rat
powers?
Roaches.
No, it's totally realistic. It's totally realistic. It's like people, like, you know, the nuclear bomb goes off, the guy, like, runs around his house and fills up his bathtub and, like, his sink and stuff, and they're, like, dealing with the neighbors and, like, eating, like, trying to, like, you know, take care of their food and do all those things and, like, maybe try to figure out a little bit what's going on, try to get contact with someone and stuff. It's cool.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Ryan.
Yes.
I was hoping you could share some success tips for getting a flatter stomach and rock hard abs like you have. I'm not out of shape, but I'm not exactly in shape either.
No problem. I think all of us can get into better shape over time.
Can't improve on perfection, Ryan.
To make it short, because it's a gaming podcast, here's my advice for anyone that's trying to get into better shape. It is very simple. Just try and make as many small, smart decisions as you can that don't hurt your routine very much. For example, a difficult yet at the same time very easy decision I made was I just don't drink sodas anymore. I drink water and juices and, you know, natural drinks instead. That's that right there is really good for you. Mm-hmm. And then other things, like simpler things, like instead of having wheat bread, Try and start your morning with fruit instead of like a giant pile of bacon.
instead of eating two double cheeseburgers, just eat one double cheeseburger.
True. Yeah. I mean, limiting portions.
Moderation.
I also read a really cool tip recently, and I'll just tell this to people. If you want to try and limit your portion size, and because you're maybe trying to cut back a little bit, lose a little weight, if you have a sandwich or something, say maybe you usually would eat two sandwiches, which I actually used to do when I was younger, right? Get one sandwich. When you take a bite, put it down. And then chew for a while and then just do something else and then pick it up again, bite, and then put it down. If you actually either put your fork or your utensil down or the item down and then finish it and then pick it up again, it slows down your eating. And then if it slows down your eating, you'll actually get filled up. You'll have the sensation of being filled up on lesser food.
I've noticed that a ton of times, yeah. Like pizza and stuff. If I just sit there and all I'm doing is eating pizza, I'm fine. But if I'm working and stuff, then it's like one slice and I'm done.
Yeah, exactly.
So I always make a point. I'm going to sit there and fucking eat this pizza. Yeah. I'm not going to do anything else. I fold it up once. Fold it up sideways. Fold it up again. Just have that giant triple-decker slice in my
mouth. Your jaw just like dislocates like a snake. Yeah.
It's Killa's just watching ears back, eyes wide. All right, final question was for me. Noah, you can answer, too, if you have any. Do you ever read The Walking Dead?
No.
Oh, my God, no. Why are you even here? Get the fuck out of here.
I don't know.
Get the fuck out of here!
You pointed to a wall.
I recently bought The Walking Dead Compendium 1. Is that how you say that word?
Compendium?
Compendium. Thank you. I'm stupid, everybody.
I don't think you're stupid. I just think it's adorable that you get words wrong sometimes.
I know how to write words. I just don't know how to say them.
I know. That's why it's adorable.
Should I go ahead and read the whole thing, or would it be better to watch the show every week and read along in the comic? Or just read the comic and then see how it plays out in the show? Isaac, you don't have to worry. The show gets, at least season one did, gets off track really fast on the comics. You could blaze through like the first few issues of the comic and you'd be past the show. So don't worry about that. Read the comics and then watch the show. And then, because the comics, you know, huge. There's so much to do in the comics. I think they're already up into the 80s, right? If I remember correctly from the last issue I bought. So they're way, way, way ahead of the show. Dude, the show will never get close to where the comic is.
I think I fell behind. Like I think I read the last thing that I read of that comic.
Yeah.
I think we were way past that now.
Oh, you got to be, yeah. I haven't, because you used to borrow mine, and I haven't brought you.
Yeah,
mine
I think
the
last like real plot point I remember is dude dude with a machete and that little goatee.
Yeah, governor.
Is that his name?
I think so.
All right. Anyway, yeah, I remember
black
him. He was along with a overweight dude with long hair. That had some very important things to say.
Oh, right. Okay,
you know what I'm talking about?
I know you are.
When they met that group of people, that's the last thing I remember.
They were going to D.C.
Yeah. How far behind him am I?
You're quite a ways behind.
Okay.
But I'll bring those in to catch you up.
There you go.
Okay.
Now I got something to read.
So here's what I've heard about this, by the way, Greg. Can you tell me if I'm wrong? Because I watched the show.
And I
really enjoyed it. But I heard that Anthony was telling me this.
Yeah.
Gallegos. And he was telling me that the comics don't get into the mythology of what happened. And
correct.
What I mean by that is that and they almost immediately start getting into that in the show.
Yeah.
Now that's like what I care about. It reminds me of Lost, like where I didn't give a shit what any of I didn't care about any of the characters. I really wanted to know what the Dharma Initiative was and what the fuck this island was.
Yeah.
Like that's what I cared about. So with this, it's like I really care more about like this disease and like what's going on around the world and all that stuff. And it seems like they're solving that problem in the show, which is cool.
Yeah, that does not happen in the comic.
I can't believe that doesn't happen.
It's weird that weird that you like that, but like you're talking about these books you like where it's them surviving and doing their thing. That's what this is about. It's about survival and making a community. It's not about like going out and figuring out what the hell happened.
Yeah, but I always you always slowly like in Jericho or whatever in The Last Babylon. Something actually that The Road, which I think is, like I said, an amazing book, doesn't do. It doesn't ever tell you what happened.
Yeah.
But I always want to know, like, what happened. And, at least get clues as to what happened. And I was getting frustrated with the show initially, and then, like, everything at the CDC and stuff started going down. I was like, this is awesome. This is what I want to see is, like, what exactly happened. The people, the characters are cool and you're interested in them. But
yeah.
It always reminded me of Lost because – or even Battlestar with the Cylons. It's like that's all interesting, but I want to see the Cylon homeworld. I want to see, like, what they've been doing for 4 years. I want to see all that stuff. I don't really care about some of these characters, you know. So I don't know. I'm always interested in the mythology.
Yeah. It's the character-driven thing, the comic book.
I'm sorry. Speaking of Jericho, is that on Netflix?
Yes.
Because I want to watch that whole thing.
Yeah,
all right, there you go. The whole thing?
Yeah. It's 27 episodes.
Are they hour-longs or are they 30 minutes?
They're hour-long.
Okay.
Well, it's like 47 minutes or something.
Beautiful, beautiful.
That show is awesome.
Yeah,
I'll try it out for you.
I know about it.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's the end of Reader Mail. If you want to be part of the show, please email us at beyond@ign.com. If you want to be our friend, and you should because you're listening to us, so you already are, little guy, you can follow us on the Twitters at IGN. I'm at GameOverGreggy. Plum Cider is Ryan Clements.
Mm-hmm.
No Taxation is Colin Moriarty. Noah is...
Noah Bench.
Noah underscore Bench. Noah underscore Bench. Read IGN every day. Rate us on iTunes. Listen to all our stuff. Before we go, before I even turn it over to Ryan Clements, oh, God, they just turned off
the life support.
We got to get
life
out of here fast.
Life support's out.
me and Colin did the infamous spoiler cast on Monday with Sam Claiborne. Hopefully you've got it downloaded off the iTunes or IGN.com. Save it until you finish the show. However, during the show, we said we'd give away statues, the infamous statues you can't buy in stores. One good, one bad. Mm. To one lucky listener who wrote in with their favorite quote from the show. The winner is George Williams. Phantom Shroom on myign.com, or myign. He sends in this conversation that he enjoyed. Greg, I should trust Colin more. Colin, you should, because I don't trust you at all. Also, Kyle wrote in. He's giving away some codes here. He got, first off, he's got the Mortal Kombat Ermac classic costume. TLH65JN9CRNJ. He's also got the Uncharted 3 beta early access code TKLHFMNFMJGE.
That threw me for a loop right there.
And finally, ladies and gentlemen, this is Podcast Beyond episode 194. That means 6 weeks from now is the epic live Podcast Beyond 200 in San Francisco. I gave you a week to get your life together to decide if you could be out here on August 4th. Again, don't book plane tickets. This is an invite-only thing. You need to apply. We will go through, pick people. Then you can make sure you're getting out here. We will, do it that way. Here's how, if you want to come to Podcast Beyond 200, remember, we're paying you for nothing. You have to get here on your own. The ticket's free. You get to come to the show and listen to the show for free. However, you got to, you don't email me from New York.
Pay for board, travel, and room and board.
That's all on you. Yeah, we got nothing. So what you want to do is email beyond@ign.com with the subject line live 200. In the email, include your name, your age, your address, your phone number, and some kind of proof that you would be able to come here. It can be an honor award you got that says, this man never tells a lie. It can be a picture of your car and your address isn't that far away. There's really no steadfast rule here. But
be
again,
creative.
Like I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, keep in mind, it's invite only. Limited number of slots. If you are a jackass and you write in just to say, well, maybe I clearly can't, but maybe, there's a 10% chance, don't do that. We'll live stream it. We'll have a video stream at some point you can watch. But if you can really come, try to come.
Yeah.
And put in this email information. We will go through eventually. I'll try to do it in a week or two. We'll vet the people, choose the winners, let you know so you can figure out book time, get off work, etc.
Can I do my announcement about Beyond 200 as well?
You sure can.
Beautiful. So, as you know, Beyond always ends with a song. It's our tradition, and Beyond 200 had to end with an amazing song, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how could we not?
Of course.
Especially, and it's going to be a live episode.
Yeah.
Now, Danny Wiesner, a listener and friend, came through for us, and he composed an incredible song that I'm really excited to debut on Podcast Beyond episode 200. Now, here's the thing. Us all sitting around listening to the song live would maybe be a little awkward.
Us at a table staring at you guys.
Play for me.
With like a boombox, just like sitting there play. So what I suggested to Danny, and he had sort of already had this idea already, is let's all create a music video sort of together as a community that we can then debut at Beyond 200. So here's what we're going to do. Maybe you could play a role in this. This is mainly a Danny-directed affair. I am just helping coordinate. But what I would like to do is put out feelers for anyone that is a very loyal and very honorable Beyond member, all right, of the Beyond Nation. If they want to join us and join Danny in creating a music video for his next upcoming song, which is called The World Is Saved, I want to get in touch with you. You can contact me through Twitter, or again, that's Plum Cider, P-W-A-M Cider. Tweet at me with maybe an example of your work. Danny basically has envisioned a lot of pixel art or something that's kind of very simplistic, maybe even like not necessarily a slideshow, but something where it's like a kind of mixture of pixel art coming together set to the music. He's going to be setting up a Google Docs.
You got your Googles?
Oh, you got your Googles?
They're
great.
Tracking all the pixels you put on the page.
He is going to oversee this process, but we would love to have collaborators. Now, here's the thing. In order for us to collaborate, we need to trust you not to join our fucking group and then spoil the song and the presentation for everyone and like post it on Twitter or something. You have to be really serious about it.
For your 34 followers.
Exactly.
You're a joke. Don't even think about it, kid.
Please, if you want to join Danny's escapade.
Oh, they know I love them.
If you want to join and help Danny out and make this a really special moment for the Beyond crew, please be honest about it. Let's work hard. I think we can definitely make this happen.
You're all good kids. We know you want to screw us over, but you know we got to say it.
So
you got listeners like Noah over there. They're just looking to screw you over.
Yep.
Tweet at me with an example of your art, maybe just a link to like a piece of art that you've done that you're proud of, or just something, you know, like I'm an art student, I'd love to contribute, something like that. Yeah. And then I'll get your contact information and I'll make sure to connect you with Danny and this Google Docs presentation,
Google
and
Doc.
We can start from there.
Awesome.
How's that sound?
Good. I'm ready.
You know, I got to say, that's a great idea, but I was excited that you were going to say he was going to come and play.
I don't think he'd be able to create like the whole band, but you know what?
This will be cooler.
Yeah, I think this will be cooler, but, you know, if Danny wants to play live, that's fine. Although I think...
No, that's a lot of setup. Danny, don't do that.
Okay.
But don't be a hero, Danny. Maybe you can play the after party at Eddie Rickenbacker's.
I'm excited to have the Beyond community come together for this, though.
You didn't like my Manhunt 2 reference?
Do it.
Oh, yeah.
Do it, Danny.
Danny, yeah. Man. I remember you reviewing that game,
that's
man.
That's
years
first started.
Ago.
Yeah.
I know.
2007.
What remind me real quick, Colin, our anniversary with IGN is July 16th?
Yep, that's right.
Yes.
Me, you, and Geddes.
Man.
Before years.
Can't believe it.
Isn't
it's
that
gone
crazy?
So fast.
I know.
In time.
Should we finish this episode with a song, Greg?
Yeah, please do.
It's just
Ryan, take me home.
Wait, what?
You remember Ikublai?
Of course. Yes. He lives in an igloo.
Ikublai here. I'm afraid I must be the bearer of bad news. With this song comes the announcement of my retirement from composing music. With whale oil hitting $500 a barrel last week, I can't afford to not focus on my personal finances, and so must bid farewell to my most beloved hobby. I hope my exposure on this podcast has inspired other young Inuit composers to keep their dreams alive, especially because they now carry my dream, too. My last song is a cover of Billy Joel's Piano Man.
Nice, Long Island.
One last thought. In my language, there are 32 words that describe what you call snow. But as in all languages, there is only one way to say beyond.
Beyond! Thank you.
Here's a quick question for you. How did you sleep last night? If your battle for a good night's sleep feels relentless, I have the answer. It's a podcast called Sleepwave, with meditations and hypnosis created to help you fall asleep. My relaxation techniques will help you feel calm and ready for sleep, with soft music that will help you fall asleep in minutes. Most listeners never hear the end of an episode. So search Sleepwave on your favorite podcast app and find out why over a million people have fallen asleep to my voice.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.